Welcome to SportsMedRes's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past 2 weeks, we've had 4 posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we described a study where the authors reported that the use of patient-reported outcome measures remains low among athletic trainers. However, athletic trainers who use patient-reported outcome measures commonly use injury or joint-specific outcome measures, or a single-item patient-reported outcome measure. Time to complete and score patient-reported outcome measures are the most important barriers to their use. In the second post, we summarized a study where the authors found that the bridge-enhanced anterior cruciate ligament repair is producing similar outcomes to hamstring autograft reconstruction up to 2 years post-surgery. Next, in the third post, we described a study where the authors noted that many secondary school athletic trainers viewed patient-reported outcomes as beneficial, however, skip using them because of time constraints, such as the time it takes to fill it out, score, or analyze. This is in agreement with the first post from 2 weeks ago. Finally, in the fourth post, we described a study where the authors reported that almost 1 in 8 patients seek medical care and are diagnosed with knee osteoarthritis within 5 years of an anterior cruciate ligament reconstruction. If we take a closer look at that first post, we find that the authors created a survey which was distributed to about 18,000 athletic trainers to describe the commonly used patient-reported outcome measures and why those outcomes are selected, as well as barriers and reasons for not using patient-reported outcome measures. The survey was sent to NATA members, and almost 1,800, or about 11% of the survey recipients, answered the survey. The authors asked, "Do you routinely use patient-reported outcome instruments for clinical practice?" and then split the sample into 370 athletic trainers that do use those outcomes and over 1,300 who do not use those type of outcome measures. The first section of the survey consisted of demographic questions, while the second portion of the survey depended on if the athletic trainer implemented patient-reported outcome measures or not. An athletic trainer that used patient-reported outcomes answered questions regarding which outcome measures they used and why. An athletic trainer that did not implement patient-reported outcome measures answered questions about why they did not use them. Answers about use or disuse were answered using a 6-point Likert-type scale. Among athletic trainers who used patient-reported outcome measures, 52% reported using outcome measures for clinical practice only, 25% reported using them for research only, and 24% reported using them for both clinical and research purposes. Athletic trainers that implemented patient-reported outcome measures most commonly used injury or joint-specific patient-reported outcomes. The most common of these patient-reported outcomes were the lower extremity functional scale, disabilities of arm, shoulder, and hand, Oswestry Disability Index, and the foot and ankle ability measure. Single item measures were reported to be used the second most among patient-reported outcomes. Specifically, athletic trainers used the Numeric Pain Rating Scale and Global Rate of Change Scale. Generic patient-reported outcomes were the least frequently endorsed outcome measures, but athletic trainers that used them commonly reported using the short form 12 or 36 and the Disability and Physically Active Scale. Athletic trainers commonly reported using these instruments because they were easy for the patient to understand and were valid and reliable. Athletic trainers that do not implement patient-reported outcomes said that they lacked the support structure necessary to implement them, such as having the right staff or technology. They also noted that they take too long for patients to complete and take too long for clinicians to analyze. The authors determined in this study that many athletic trainers still do not use patient-reported outcome measures in their clinical setting. These outcome measures are important as they provide athletic trainer with information on how a patient feels and how they are recovering from their own perspective, which is a vital aspect of whole person care that encourages the disablement model practice. It was not surprising to see that injury-specific patient-reported outcomes were most commonly used because they help assess function. However, they leave out information about the person's overall quality of life, which can be helpful for total patient care. Therefore, the use of both generic and specific outcome measures would be helpful, but may only be used at key time points because of the time constraints. Instead, athletic trainers could start adopting patient-reported outcome measures by using single-item measures such as the numeric pain rating scale or global rate of change, because these are fast to complete and analyze. For athletic trainers who report a lack of support structure, it may be helpful to identify mobile apps or websites that can be used to complete and score patient-reported outcome measures. Having even simple patient-reported outcome measures can help clinicians track how a patient feels they are recovering, guide discussions and shared decision-making with patients, and provide evidence to administrators that the care provided is beneficial. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post were two tweets related to presentations at the Osteoarthritis Research Society International's World Congress on Osteoarthritis. The first was a note that we need role models, like national teams, to use injury prevention programs to inspire youth and club teams to adopt these types of programs. The second was a note that 42% of people gain weight over the first 5 years after ACL injury, with an average weight gain of 9 kilograms. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 online evidence-based practice courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. These now include our new edition on concussions. We'll have links to our summaries and the courses on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.